All righty, we're set and ready to roll. This is the Media Bids Power Hour, your educational program for this month. These are educational programs that began all the way back in 1995, and Jed and myself that started in 2006. There are more than 60 hours of educational programs available for you at Media Bids. We encourage you to go visit their site and go see all that they have to offer. As you're getting settled in, we're going to be talking today about hiring, recruiting, interviewing, the first week, the first day, the first month of someone new coming on board. We have a lot of ground to cover. Please clear your desk as best you can. Turn off any distractions or close your office door, whatever it takes to really be able to focus on what we're going to be covering. Plus, we'll also be fielding your questions as they rolled in, as they roll in by email, and you can simply hit a reply to the confirmation that brought you to our meeting today. Jed, as always, a pleasure working here together. How about some opening words to our leaders, our advertising teams around the world, and tell us a little bit about what's cooking at MediaBits.
All right, great. Well, first of all, I want to thank Ernest, who always does a great job with these teleseminars. I always learn a lot listening to him learning from his many years of experience in the world of print. MediaBids has been around for 13 years. We are sort of organized under the basic assumption that, you know, if there was a way to, you know, buy airline tickets and do online banking and conduct business online, then there must be a way to sell print ads. And so we have a variety of different tools available on our website, which are all designed around the same thing, and that is to drive revenue to publications. There's no cost to register, and it works. Every week we sell thousands of ads, and we've got advertisers who purchase through MediaBids because they like the online process that's available, because they feel that for whatever reason they don't have the time to talk to one of the advertising superstars that we're going to talk about hiring today. but for whatever reason, they enjoy that online process. And so what we do is basically offer advertisers another way to purchase in your publication. And so we are available anytime you'd like to learn more about it. And again, thank you for joining us. And thanks again to Ernest, who really makes these teleseminar is interesting.
Well, thank you so much, Jed, and always a pleasure to be working together, and thank you for the support of from you and from all of those on your team. It's an absolute joy, and with more than 60 hours of programs at your site, MediaBids.com, what a resource for those who are in advertising sales and sales leaders around the world. And when we talk about ad sales, whether it's print publications of all kinds, newspaper, magazines, niche publications, whether it's e-newsletters, I mean, let's agree that's part of our media space today, and, of course, web advertising. We are big, big proponents of all three. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've been in the advertising space since the mid-'80s, and 18 years ago, back in 1995, we launched Power Hour specifically to work with advertising sales teams and, of course, to help you win in driving your sales, whether it's the use of LinkedIn, your own e-newsletters for marketing, how you go out and close deals, make presentations, media kits, all of those things are all part of what we do. In addition, Jed, as you know, we're very, very excited. Last year, we launched a weekly Power Hour Sales Academy specifically for advertising leaders. We meet every single Tuesday for about 20 or 30 minutes, and then every one of our members receive an audio sales newsletter on Thursday that allows them to prepare for the following Tuesday. It's wonderful. You get about 12 or 14 minutes on Thursday to listen to, and then we come together every Tuesday for about 20 to 30 minutes to take those strategies and go even deeper. And we have exclusivity, as you know. We only have one member per area, per marketplace in that particular category, that particular area of advertising. Bottom line, we never, ever permit competitors on our weekly sales academy. So to those of you that would be interested, come into our website, powerhour.com, and you can learn more about all that we're doing. Jed, let's dive right in. We've got lots to cover here, and we're going to be talking today. I think I mentioned to you as we were preparing for our meeting, it has been since 2006 that we've covered this topic about recruiting, about interviewing, and then about onboarding. And it's been that long because, as you know, we don't come around to topics unless they're relevant and really changing rapidly. It might be 1 or 3 or 5, in this case, almost 7 years ago that we covered this particular topic. Lots has changed, and then many points are still very consistent. So we try to bring, as you know, the freshest, most timely, emerging trends, and it's been a long time since we've taken a breath and really come back around to this topic. So let's go ahead and dive in. Are we set and ready?
Sounds good.
All right, very good. So here's the opening point. Take a blank sheet of paper. In the blank sheet of paper, put a circle in the middle about 2 inches around. And inside of that circle, because we're talking about point number one of 3 points, we're talking about recruiting. And inside of that circle, put today's date, today being the 27th.
Right.
And inside of that circle, put recruiting strategies. Right in the middle of that circle, because that in that circle is where we're going to put the absolute, we're going to sort of take a couple of circles here, Jed, and for those of you that are participating live, I'm going to ask you to put some things inside of the circle and think about your recruiting strategy. Because under our recruiting strategy, inside the that small circle, that 2 inches around, is really going to be the absolute best place and best way to recruit inside of our space. And inside of that goes our direct competitors. Now, what does that mean? Anybody who's worked directly in our same space, they've sold ads, they sold for a competitor, whether that's print, whether that's online, whether that is a website, newsletter, doesn't matter. If they have sold as direct competitors, that goes in the center of the center of the bullseye. Jed, what could be more concise than that, right? As a starting point, we should be paying attention. Frankly, there might be currently a competitor, or they might have left a competitor, zigzagged out to some other advertising source, and we stay in touch, and we bring them around the bend, and we bring them inside, and they work with us. Now, I realize this is very sensitive with non-competes. I realize it's very sensitive, and we realize, Jed and myself realize, that when you bring someone from a competitor, there's always the concern, is are they a mole within the organization? And I must tell all of you that I very selectively have hired probably 1/4 to 1/3 of those who have worked for competitors. And what I mean by that is, frankly, in some cases I didn't trust or believe they really were folding in, and frankly, they just weren't good enough. They just simply weren't good enough. So, Jed, make 1/4 to 1/3. So if I had potentially 10 people that I'm going to be bringing, interviewing who have worked for competitors, I might only hire 1 of 4 or 1 of 3, if that makes sense.
Right.
Okay? Now, let's take another circle. Let's draw another circle around this first circle. And let's step back for just a second, and let's kind of think about, what would be the next best combination for recruiting? Think about sort of backgrounds and experience. So inside this next circle that's wrapped around the first one, so now we have our second loop. If we're throwing darts, this is the second loop going around. On one side of that circle, we're going to have those who have publication or website ad sales, so specifically ad sales. They've sold for publications, newspapers, magazines. They've sold for e-newsletters, websites. So ad sales professionals go in this second ring going around. So if you think about that, by definition, if they've got the ad sales, can we teach them our sector and industry? Of course we can.
Sure.
Of course we can, right, Jed? I mean, can we fold somebody in if they understand the principles of ad sales and teach them about the sector? Of course. Here's the jargon. Here's what people think. Here's how people measure. Ba, 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 ba. Okay? Inside that same circle, let's go the other way, those who have industry experience but don't have ad sales. It goes right in the second circle. So I know my sector. I know the jargon. I've got lots of connections and lots of relationships. I just have never sold ads. Now, this is where we're often asked the question, so is it the chicken or the egg? Better to take somebody with ad sales and teach them the industry, or the industry and teach them about ad sales. Jed, any insight on that? Not a trick question, I promise.
it's hard to generalize about these things, right? Because it's a lot of it's based on the personal experience that you may have had. But boy, I would take someone who knows how to sell but doesn't know the industry pretty quickly over someone who knows the industry and isn't sure if they can sell. Just because I, you know, my experience has been, and again, this is, I don't have nearly as much experience with this as you do, but my experience has been that, you know, a good salesperson is born, you know, not taught, you know. I mean, I mean, they're, you can teach them how to be a better salesperson, but someone has to like the process of sales, and that's just not for everybody.
You're absolutely right, and here's what and Jed, you are correct, because those who have been in sales and have sold, even though they don't know the sector, the leap is far shorter to bring them into the sector knowledge. Those who have worked in the sector, they've never maybe faced rejection. They've never maybe made cold calls. They've never maybe left 10 voice messages and never got it back, got a contact back. It is a strange place for them. What we've observed is only about 10% of those that migrate from a sector into ad sales succeed. The remaining 90% really struggle.
Right.
Really struggle because, you know, Jed, honestly, they're used to being the buyers typically on the other side, and they're stunned when they move over to the sales and selling side, and they're stunned that their own peers and their own colleagues, people they've known for 10 years, won't take their call, won't respond to an email. It's like you suddenly have got the plague or something, that, you know, you're contagious.
Right.
And they're stunned by that. About 10% make it, about 90% fail and revert back to the buying side and the industry side.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting to watch, you know, because there's some people who really, really feed off the sales process and really enjoy it and can thrive within it. And then there's other people for whom it, you know, it quickly becomes sort of a form of torture.
Absolutely. And so as we think about those who are in the industry, okay, when we're talking industry, we're talking, and we realize that we have those of you that are B2B versus B2C, business to business versus business to consumer. We'll step back in just a moment and draw some distinctions on this. But recognize for those of you that are in a B2B sector, if you are looking for those who have success in the industry, okay, and maybe they have success and they've been selling in the industry, not ad sales, but they understand the space and sector. A wonderful place to start is to reach out to the executive director of the professional organizations that you belong to. For example, quick example, if you work in the realtor space and you're part of your board of realtors, then you've got all the realtors. That's who we're selling to. And then you've got yourself and your competitors. You're selling ads. And then you've got those who are other related vendors. Maybe they're in banking. Maybe they're in mortgage brokering. Maybe they're in inspection, appraisals. They're in other selling capacities. Those can also go on to become really good salespeople because they already know how to sell in the space, and now you're going to bring them over into the ad sales side. Okay? And the surest way to do this is go speak to the executive director who runs the organization. They will tell you who the superstars are. They will tell you who's looking for a position. They will tell you what companies are expanding or contracting. The executive director of associations is a wonderful place to speak with he or she about who's the best in the space. And they're a wonderful resource on the recruiting side. Another quick clue, those who run the committees for your professional associations. Again, this is B2B, but those that are chairing golf tournaments, charity events, black tie, trade shows, all of those kinds of things, look for those key vendors. Jed, in my corporate days, there was a woman by the name of Daniela. I'll never forget. She just knew everybody and everything. She was in the paint sector. She's working with all of these related clients, and she knew lots about paint and was selling paint like there was no tomorrow for a named, very well-known, you know, paint organization that had a national footprint. And of course, I'm on the ad sales side, but I knew she had a Rolodex that was absolutely golden. Perfect example. interviewed her, brought her on. We worked for almost 7 years together. She was an absolute rock star. Did we need to teach her this sector? No. Did we need to teach her how to make cold calls and emails and run appointments and meetings? No. Do we need to teach her ad sales and what we did? Of course. So right. Another way to add kind of this recruiting blend is to look inside of a sector where you have those with the same exact Rolodex that you do as an ad sales professional. They just happen to sell other products and services. Comments, Chad,
right.
on that?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I it's been a long time since I hired a salesperson, but I would imagine that these days the the list of candidates has grown because of the way that companies have started sort of handling their marketing has really changed. So I would imagine that, you know, people like the woman you're referring to, there's more of them out there looking for an opportunity than there may have been 20 years ago.
Absolutely. And another way to do this is to speak to your advertisers and to say, you know, tell me, you know, our company's expanding. Isn't that a good thing? And ad revenue is really growing forward. That's a good thing. And, you know, we're really excited about that. We're going to be opening up a new territory or another geographical space or another category. Tell me, who are you impressed with? Who calls on you that you're impressed with? That's another reverse way to back into who has really earned a sterling reputation, who is really well known in the space and sector. And those are the kinds of things that we look for related to this. Now, I did promise, Jed, that to address a little bit B2B versus B2C. And probably so long as we do that, we should probably do B2MD and just make some quick distinctions. B2B clearly is business to business, which is a whole separate set of experiences. So if you're looking for those in sales, let's go out one more ring, a third ring, and now we're talking about those in sales. They have no industry background, and they have no ad sales. This is the third ring, all right? And this is where you have to just clarify, you know, are you in the B2B sector? Are you in the B2C, more consumer-driven? So B2B might be, you know, you're selling ads to RV dealers. You're selling ads to, you know, chiropractors. You're selling ads to health food stores. That's B2B, okay? B2C is a little different. That's where we're selling, for example, to realtors. In the simplest, you know, we sell ads, and realtors are a target. B2C, even though they're in business, they're really consumers. They're writing those checks with sailboats right out of their purse or their wallets, or, you know, it's a B2C. Relationship. And then B to MD is B to medical, right? I mean, these are those that have worked in the medical space, that understand the medical profession, in and out of hospitals and doctors and HMOs and all the kind of medical care side. So when you look at a candidate, make certain that you know where you fit. Your ad sales, which category does that apply? And then how does that relate to someone who just has pure sales? Do they work at all in that genre? And most importantly, there's a big distinction between those who make one-time sales versus ongoing relationships. Jed, when we're hiring people that are in ad sales, we know we're going to sell an ad, and we're going to nurture that relationship for the next 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. We're going to be part of that relationship for a long time. That's very different than working for Xerox, selling a copy machine. That's what we call one and done.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm going to sell you my copier, and I'm out the door when I'm done. I'm going to get my commission, and we're done. And if you need anything, here's my service team, and off we go.
Right. Right. It's a much different type of sales process.
Okay. So do make certain when you're thinking on the recruiting side. Now, let's scamper over, because you also said, Jed, things have changed. And one of the greatest single change, as we all know, is the use and the benefit of LinkedIn. The use and the benefit of LinkedIn has forever changed our recruiting engine. Jed, both in our direct training on LinkedIn, we've trained more than 4,000 advertising sales leaders on how to win with LinkedIn, how to sell, how to prospect, how to be visible, and all of those strategies that we cover in our weekly sales academy. But there's another component, which is the recruiting side. And the recruiting side has a whole nother different component. So it ties into the use of LinkedIn, how you leverage groups, how you sort groups, and how you find what we call the passive candidates. And the use of LinkedIn is something we probably, Jed, could reserve almost a full hour and just drill down to that. So just make a placeholder to the side of the three circles that says LinkedIn is an incredibly powerful tool, by industry, sector, geography, and groups in order to be able to passively recruit, and then how to passively use LinkedIn, and then how to passively find those the very, very, very best that would be a fit. So, Jed, I'll make a little asterisk because I could see us coming around the bend and just doing that, but I don't want to skip over that because, I mean, we've got 218 million users of LinkedIn. We have 1.7 million groups inside of LinkedIn, and there's an incredible amount of opportunity and knowledge on that. Okay?
Right.
So when you said the world of recruiting, has it changed? Yes, that is a very big place, and we'll come back and get even more granular on that. Jed, any additional questions on this recruiting side before we take this, we cover point number two and talk about the nine steps to make a perfect hire?
You know, I guess you know, my only question is when you're as a publication who's recruiting someone, you know, who maybe is not from the industry but is a salesperson, someone with sales experience but not industry experience, is it difficult to sort of sell them on print, you know, sort of working in an industry where if they don't have much knowledge about it, they you know, everything that they've, you know, sort of read has been, you know, has probably led them to believe that it's going to be a tough place to sell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you raise a good point. As a starting point, the majority of our clients are not only working on the print side, but the e-newsletter and the sale of advertising there, typically four or five prime locations. And then, of course, the sale of advertising on the web. They're marrying that all up. They're bundling it all up. So
Right. Because
of that, the story is very compelling, and much of the research we're seeing has said that the trend of what we've seen on ad sales and where there have been either declines or shifts is actually balancing out, and we are seeing recovery on the print, and we are obviously seeing continued ad revenue being driven to e-newsletters and to websites, and the whole marriage, an entire media solution being a very important part. But let's get real. That's part of what? Our sales presentation. That's part of our media kit. And if we're not confident enough to sell that to a potential new hire, surely we're not going to be confident enough to sell that in the advertising space.
Right. Yeah, and it probably is something that you really need to sell to a new hire, right? Because they probably, you know, the average person doesn't have any idea what how many different areas the average publication sort of goes now. You know, I mean, it's like you mentioned, you know, website and e-newsletters and, you know, and many other ways of reaching the reader other than just, you know, the traditional print product. But they probably don't know that, right?
That's correct, and that's part of the process. I mean, I can share with you that, and this steps right into, you know, this kind of is a segue into the nine steps for making the perfect hire. But one of those steps is that we do give candidates that we're going to be interviewing some homework to go poke around, to go learn about us, our website, our print publication, et cetera, and even competitors. And the other side of that is that, you know, we also give them enough information that during the interview process they can give us a mock presentation because they've learned enough and they understand enough. So your point is well made, and it is part of the interview process. But once again, if we don't have the confidence, right, to be able to give a presentation or give a capsule of the value that we bring and the success that we bring in terms of the advertisers, if we can't do it with a new hire, we're probably really struggling with, prospects and selling new ads. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. So let's make the segue into the nine steps for making a perfect hire, and we'll talk a little bit about pre-hire sales testing and why this is so important. So there are nine specific steps, and we want all of you to know that you can accomplish these steps literally starting Monday morning with a hire on Friday. Why do we say that? Because we call that the perfect 5 days. And if any of you would like to see the perfect 5 days or a more formal step-by-step of the nine steps, just send a quick email to Ernest@powerhour.com or just simply hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here today, and we'll send that over to you. We'll also post that in our LinkedIn group, Advertising Sales Success, so it'll also be be there and available. But just recognize that, and the reason we, Jed, that we crafted the perfect 5 days is I'll never forget. I was working with a group of ad sales professionals, and there was a gentleman in New York, and there was another, there was another lady in Vancouver, another one in Toronto, and we were talking about the hiring process, and I'm mapping out the 9 steps, and the one person said, the gentleman in New York said, Ernest, as it is right now, we take like 6 weeks to like hire somebody in our company. I'm like, okay, stop right there. You're killing me. Like, are you kidding? That's like completely unacceptable. People are actively interviewing. And, you know, frankly, Jed, I've got a young man that I'm working with. He's got in his 20-something, just out of college, 20-something, and I'm just working with him and helping him in a little career transition, friend of the family. He's got 3 job offers at the same time. We don't have time for 6 weeks. That's ridiculous. So for all of you to know, just like the expiration of milk on a summer day, the 9 steps we're talking about and the five perfect days in order to go from literally nothing to a full hire is completely doable. And if you're not able to do that, then you follow these steps step by step. And if you're not able to do it within your company and you can't get somebody from, you know, literally a resume, first interview, phone interview, first, second, third, compensation, plus assessments, plus references between a Monday and a Friday, you need to really sort of, you know, sort of check the mirror for a moment and go, wait a minute, and if we're taking more than that, yeah, we may be losing some of the best people. And quite honestly, with these economic times, as things are stepping back up, companies are actively hiring, and you're competing more than you have in a long time for the attention of those hires. So, Jed, let's work through the steps. Step number one, and I like to always say, remember these words, I will not lower my standards or hire a subpar candidate. I will not lower my standards or hire a subpar candidate. Point number one has got to be that. It's a reoccurring reminder. We never lower the bar. We hire the best or we don't make a hire at all, period. Step number two, we advertise the position, and when we're advertising the position, we always include the compensation range. You just don't want to be, you know, promoting a position that's 30 and 40 grand and you got people coming in at 90. Quite honestly, just a waste of your time and a waste of theirs. And Jed, you've heard me over the years, unless we're within about 10 or 20% of the current comp, they're not even a fit in our organization. We have to be within the range. Okay?
Right.
Number three, we always conduct a phone interview. Jed, I don't know how to say this. I can't tell you. I was in Los Angeles making hires, and I wasn't doing phone interviews. I was new into the advertising space. I didn't see the value. I didn't realize the benefit of it. And I wasn't taking the time to really get to know somebody by the phone, even if it was 10 or 15 minutes before they walked in. Now that they've walked in, they've commuted to my office, they put on their Sunday best, and I'm literally looking at their resume, and I'm looking at them, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is a dud. I can't believe I'm going to sit here for the next 45 minutes.
Right.
Because I had to. I couldn't do a 10-minute interview. Say, hey, listen, thanks, Mary. You've been great. Sorry you drove 2 hours. Put on your Sunday best, and we're done.
Right.
It was my mistake. Phone interviews also, Jed, are so key because people tend to let their guard down. Hey, so listen, tell me, what is your ideal position? Oh, my gosh, my ideal position. If I could just get a tan and work on my golf game every day and be home with, you know, with my family, that would be beautiful. Okay, great. Hey, listen, thanks so much. Good luck on your pursuit. Click. I've literally had people tell me that. Oh, yeah, if I can work on my tan and golf every afternoon. Yeah, nice. You're the top of the pile to go right into the circular file.
Right.
Oy vey. So, phone interview. Here are a couple things to ask. Number one, are you currently employed? Okay? You want to know that. You got their resume. And nowadays, we look at their resume, and we also match up to their LinkedIn profile. It should be exactly the same, both from an integrity perspective, and there should be no difference between a resume and a LinkedIn profile, period. So, are you currently employed? Well, I'm going to go look at LinkedIn, and I'm going to look at your resume, and I'm going to see. Hey, tell me, why are you leaving your current employer? Hey, tell me, what is your ideal position? Lastly, what are you currently earning? Those are the four questions. You need to know those things out of the gate in order to set the stage. Okay? And phone interviews are incredibly powerful. Jed, to your point, this is where we give, if that goes well, then we give a little homework, a little assignment. Hey, listen, I want you to go pick up my publications at the newsstand. You're going to buy it. Go pour through it. I want to know the three things you observe when you see it. Oh, by the way, go to the grocery store. You know that by the exit door of the rack, go pick up my free publication. Boom. Or go take a look at my newsletter. I'll send you 3 samples. Or come into my website. give them some homework. Because the beginning of the interview goes something like this. So, Lucy, what did you learn about, you know, my publication? So, Rick, what did you find when you surfed my website? Tell me the three things that were the most interesting. Tell me the three things that you think we could improve. You will be amazed at how many people come into a first interview and literally belly flop right there. Oh, you know what? I was really too busy. I never got your publication.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was really scrambling behind the scenes. I was working on my golf game. I never got to your website. Well, Jed, you can probably know that that interview is not going very far, even in person.
Right.
So give the person some an assignment. Okay? So step number four is we let me backtrack. Step number four, we always do a phone interview. Let me backtrack one step. Step number three, I don't want to skip over, okay? Step number one, we never lower the bar. Step number two, we advertise. We always include the salary comp range. Step number three, reading a resume. Read a resume, quick laser tip, and Jed, we could do an entire program on reading resumes, but read a resume from the bottom up and asking yourself, where did this person go to school, and then what did they do, and then what they do, and then what they do. Go find a pattern. See, did it zigzag? See if it stayed on track. Go see what you learn about them. And then that weaves into step number four, the phone interview.
Right, right.
Okay? Do you have any comments or questions on that before we roll into the interviewing steps?
Well, you know, one thing you mentioned, the phone interview, which I've found to be, you know, in today's day and age where you know, if you're advertising for a position, so much of it is available online. You know, even if you're buying a traditional print ad, you know, it'll in many cases be dispersed far and wide through the internet. So the phone interview is a great way of determining whether the geographic location of the work is actually going to work for someone. Because I've found it's really hard to tell. You know, you get someone from, you know, Chicago who wants to come work in Connecticut, and, you know, you don't know. I mean, does their sister live in the town that you live in? Did they grow up here and are looking for a way to get back? Or are they just looking for a job, and if you offer them enough, they'll think about moving? You know, so it's usually, you know, the geographic issue I find to be a pretty big one.
It is, and it's also a big piece about, you've heard me say, Jed, work where you live or live where you work, right? I mean, the whole commute thing, if you're required to commute, and the travel time and geography and you know, for some relocation position or for some positions require relocation. You know, now you're into conversations about family and spouses and work and school. So there are important conversations related to that, yes?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So let's talk about point number five, which we're going to just weave in a couple of key points, because this really ties into the first and second interview. You now move through the phone interview. Point number five, you've begun to the interview process. We believe that there are 25 of the most significant questions that need to be asked in the interview process, but we don't believe that every single one of those needs to be asked every single time. This is called phase interviewing, and what phase interviewing means is that you're going to identify the core areas, the key areas in the interviewing process that you most need to know about. Take, for example, Jed, if we're hiring an ad salesperson, it's going to be a new territory. There's going to be a lot of cold calling. One of the most important questions, if we take a look at the 25, we extract out and we say, look, we need to know the percent of time that they've spent prospecting. Because, you know, frankly, I could be interviewing 5 ad sales reps, and of those 5, 4 of them have said, no, I run an existing territory with existing clients, and frankly, I spend less than 5% of my time cold calling. That's not going to be a fit going into a brand new company or a brand new territory or a brand new set of prospects. That's just not going to be. They haven't done that kind of work, and frankly, don't want to, and maybe don't even have to.
Right.
The fifth person says, are you kidding? You know, I'm a 20-something, I am hungry, I want to grow a territory, and I want to do nothing but 80 or 90% of my time, you know, growing new biz. That's why I'm here. I'm here because I want that opportunity. So this is making a distinction about the territory. You know, are you hiring for an ad rep who's going to come into existing base and it's about maintaining? Then you want to focus on that, your interviewing skills and your interview questions on that side. How do you maintain? How do you renew? How do you keep those? How do you deepen those relationships? How do you go deeper inside of those companies and organizations to get even more ad buys? All of those things are relevant. So phase interviewing is, and again, that could be its own program jet all by itself. Phase interviewing is the very process of taking your question and their response leads to their responses they're going to give you, which means then your next questions relate to their responses, and then they're going to respond again, which sets up a series of questions again. The point is that we go very deep. In the quickest visual, we go an inch wide and a mile deep, and if need be, 10 miles deep, okay, in the interview process. It's not how many questions you ask. We have what we believe are the 25 most relevant and most significant. But we coach our clients around it in the interviewing process that they may only choose 6 or 8 and then use those to drive the interview because those are the most important questions where they want to go deeper and deeper. Another quick point, if we are passionate about multi-interviews within a company, which means you have to make notes between your first and second, and then you can pass the notes into the third and fourth so that the person who's doing a third or fourth interview does not have to start all over with that candidate. Very important part. At the end of the first interview, you're going to give the candidate, this is the written exercise, and believe it or not, Jed, I can tell you battle scars and battle stories about this, mistakes I made because I didn't utilize this, and I can tell you that it is amazing how many what appear to be great candidates absolutely fail at this step, and it's very simple. Blank sheet of paper. You give it to the candidate. Hey, Lucy, I've really enjoyed our first interview today. I've got a little exercise for you. Blank sheet. On the front of the first page, tell me why you're an advertising sales superstar. Tell me why you. You can write a word, a sentence, a paragraph, or 10 pages. What do you want? Flip the page over. Give me your 30, 60, and 90-day game plan. If I were to fold you into my ad team, just given what you know, given your ad sales experience or your industry experience or your sales experience in general, what would you do for the first 30, 60, and the 90 days? What would be your plan for sales?
Right. Jed, yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, Jed, I can tell you the results from that small step have been literally eye-popping. In some cases, crazy positive and unbelievably wonderful. And in other cases, an absolute belly flop. So we do not book our second interview until the candidate completes it there. Two comments on this. They do it longhand because there's no spell check. Last I checked, Jed, in our space in the advertising world, you got to be able to spell the word dog and cat, okay?
Right.
And I let one salesperson in Los Angeles take it home. They say, oh, I'm scrambling, oh, I'm running, so I'll bring it back tomorrow morning. Okay, great. Took it home. Her spouse, this candidate's spouse completed it, brought it back the next day. I hired this person on Monday, and I fired this person on Friday. She could not spell the word dog or cat or hat or bat. Not, impossible.
Really?
Later learned it was the candidate's spouse who actually completed the exercise. In another case, I skipped the step, hiring a sales leader with compensation more than $120,000 a year. Brought on this candidate, folded this person in on a Monday, terminated this person on Friday, okay,
wow.
Because I skipped this step, all right? So to all of you, if you just take one nugget from today, the written exercise is non-negotiable. It happens after at the end of the first interview. It gets completed there. It's done without any spell check. They bring it back to you. You scan it quickly. If you like what you see, you set the second interview. And the beginning of the second interview begins with reviewing the written exercise. So, Lucy, you said in your longhand, blank, blank, let's talk about it together. So, Rick, you mentioned in your 30, 60, 90-day game plan, the following, let's talk about it. So the second interview begins right there based on what this person has actually put in writing. Okay? Jed, does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. It is a biggie. It really is. Step number 6 of 9, we use assessments. At the end of the second or third interview, typically the second, no later than the third, if you like what you see with the individual that you're potentially going to hire, we insert the assessment process. Assessments tell us about our level of drive, people skills, multitasking, attention to detail, financial driven, if we're financially driven, and our pride and ego and passion. There are absolute standards for those who are in advertising sales. Jed, on an annual basis, we process more than 10,000 assessments for our clients before they make hiring decisions. Over 18 years working with companies and clients going all the way back to 1995, I never begin ever working with a team or leaders without them completing assessments because it gives me literally a five-year head start. So here's the key piece to know about assessments. They are invaluable. They are a required part of the nine steps, and you will go on to make better and better and better hires. And there's two ways that we do that. If your team is small, we know what advertising sales superstars look like because we have benchmarks for the sector. If your company is medium or large, for example, 20 or 50 or 100 salespeople or more, then we create custom benchmarks exactly within your company. So what we're basically saying is if your company looks like tomatoes, your benchmark is like a tomato, therefore when you go to hire someone, they should look like a tomato, not a grapefruit. And if they're a grapefruit, it tells us that they're a high-risk hire, that they will not succeed coming into your organization. So that's what it means. It prevents you from making hiring mistakes. And that's the part related to assessments. Step number seven, we are passionate about multiple person interviews. So if you do, for example, the phone interview, and if you do the first and second, somebody else in your organization should do the third. And in the third, we also like to encourage a role play or a mock presentation. Very important part. We like to encourage the potential hire to sell, and there's a number of ways. Jed, when I was first interviewing in a variety of companies, I had to sell a glass. I had to sell a pen. Okay, that's fine. In other cases, I had to sell a media kit. I had to give a media presentation as my career went along. I had a short window of time to review a media kit, gather my key points, and make a presentation. So there's a couple of ways to do it. We can either do it a little more generic, or we can do it specific to the actual company and the mock presentation. Big believers on that. Point number eight of the nine, checking references still remains key. And we all know that people will give us lists of references, and it's our job, first off, to confirm that those match up to the hiring managers. Number two, we are big believers in a reference authorization form, which means that the person is authorized to give us a sort of untainted reference. But number three, the single most important thing in the reference process is if I'm given Lucy to call as a reference, Jed, if you say, Ernest, here's my reference list, call Lucy, call Rita, okay, great, I call Lucy. Hey, Lucy, Jed said, you know, that I could speak to you. Oh, yes, Jed was golden, Hey, Lucy, wonderful. Thank you so much. But is there anybody else that Jed worked with or Jed reported to? Oh, yeah, talk to Rick. Here's his number. Beautiful. The second reference, Jed, is the single most important reference. Why? Because you didn't put it on your list, and that person is not expecting my call.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You see where I'm going with that, right?
Right.
The second person was not on your list. By the way, they're typically not as prepped, and nor or are they quite always able to handle references because they don't do it on a regular basis. Especially, for example, if Lucy is an HR director, and now I'm speaking to Rick, who's the VP of sales. Well, Lucy does references all the time. She's just going to give you the name, rank, and serial number. When I talk to Rick, Rick's going to give me 20 minutes.
Right.
Completely different. So reference checks remain a very important part. As a small note tied back to LinkedIn, go take a look at a person's LinkedIn profile and see what kind of recommendations have been given them to them there. That weaves in the very best of technology today, and you'll get a pulse of the kinds of recommendations that have been given. Lastly, point number nine. Compensation, fourth interview, last interview. Compensation is in writing. Compensation maps out gold, silver, and bronze performance. Compensation maps out 24 months minimum, month by month by month. Jed, over all the years, you've heard me talk about the passion of compensation, the passion of presenting it in writing, the importance of impacting the silent decision maker, because if I give it to Mary, Mary takes it back to her best friend, her mom, her college roommate, her spouse, whoever. I want that person to take something tangible month by month. I do not want a standard compensation offer. Your salary will be blank. Your commission will be blank. Your bonus will be blank. No one, including many of the hiring managers that I've worked with initially, have been able to describe what am I going to really earn in my first year. And if the hiring manager doesn't know, it is impossible that the new hire is going to know. Unless the new hire comes in and now runs the numbers and finds the comp is not reasonable or that the comp really isn't within their range. And if you ever want to know why someone leaves within 24 or 48 hours of joining a company, that's the reason why.
Right.
Okay. And not
but,
only
but, yeah, but how yeah. do you do that if it how do you make those projections if it's based in if the salary is based in part on the performance of the new hire?
So here's the piece. If we're talking about gold, silver, and bronze, the bronze level is minimum performance. And since we've made other hires, we know, for example, if it's to sell, you know, 4 new pages a quarter, and we know the ad rate, you know, total to that, we know that that's the minimum at bronze that other new hires have done and they're going to be required to do. So maybe it's 4 new pages, maybe it's 4 new ads, maybe it's $4,000 in ad campaigns or $40,000, whatever the norm is, that when someone has joined the team has been what we'll call the absolute minimum, the base quota, not a goal, but a quota. To be employed with our ad team, you have to produce X, and that's the bronze level. And I'm going to show you month by month by month for 24 months what you're going to earn.
Right, I see.
You follow that? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, silver level should be kind of the sweet spot. So silver level is sort of better than that. Let's imagine that rather than selling 4 pages, it's 8 pages in the first quarter. Or rather than selling 4,000, it's 8,000. Or rather than 40,000, it's 80,000. It steps up into the silver level, but there are those currently on the team that are selling actively in that range. And that's the part about being reasonable and about certainly presenting facts and numbers that are doable. Because if you show me those numbers as a new hire and I walk in the door and there's not a single person selling 8 ads or $8,000 or $80,000, I'm going, what? Jed, you blew smoke at me. I'm out of here.
Right.
So silver has got to be sort of the medium range, the middle range of your current team. And then gold is what your superstars are doing. Gold is now the very best. There's one or two on a team. If you kind of think about a bell-shaped curve, you've got those on one side that are struggling. You have those in the middle that are delivering silver, and then you've got those on the other that are just blowing it out, just rocking.
Right.
Okay? That's what your gold level is. So, honestly, you're not fabricating performance. You're looking at your current team to establish what performance currently is.
Sure.
Okay? And for those of you that are joining us, if you have any follow-through questions or would like to see samples of what those compensation spreadsheets look like, just again, send an email to earnest@powerhour.com and we'll show you samples. We've been providing samples and explanations for written compensation for a long, long time. We are passionately passionate. Quick little side note, Jed, when you have compensation plans in writing, you also realize you can actually hire better people, that your comp plan is actually more attractive than even you realized, which is unbelievable. You know, hiring managers go, wow, I always thought like the comp range was blank to blank, but it's really bigger than that. There's really more. In fact, when I went back and looked at, you know, 4 of our current, you know, sales reps, they're actually tracking even above that. I thought they were silver and they're in gold.
Right.
Okay. So those are the pieces. Those are the 9 steps. If any of you would like those 9 steps or the perfect 5-day week, again, send a quick email. Let's come around the bend to the very last point. And again, this is sort of at least an hour or two long, typically that we kind of cover in individual programs. We're going to just talk about a new hire, the first day, the first week, the first month, and just give you some quick high spots for the things that you have to do really, really well. First and foremost, you're making a first impression in that first day. Everything's got to be in place. Is it their cell phone? Is it their email? Is it the CRM is ready to go? Their territory, their clients, their prospects. You need everything dialed in. Do not find yourself fumbling. Do not make a rookie mistake of the third and fourth and fifth day. You're still setting things up. You are not making a good impression. And I'm going to tell all of you, and we'll tell all of you, that you know, that first day, that person goes home and talks to their best friend, their mother, their father, their spouse. How did it go? You do not want the words, man, are they disorganized. Wow, it's my third day. I still don't have my business cards. Wow, I still don't have my prospect. You just don't want that. You have got to get your ducks in order as a hiring manager, and that first day has got to be absolutely sterling, and there's no halfway. You either did it or you didn't, okay? And we know it, Jed, because we have a recruiting division inside of Power Hour, and when someone joins a new ad team and we speak to them the first day and the third day and the fifth day and the second week and the third week, we're always asking, how's it going? Oh, it's unbelievable. Oh, it's going great. Oh, they're such a great company. Or we hear, man, are they disorganized. And the first, our first reaction is, what? Are you kidding me? And we go back to the hiring manager or the owner or the president of the company and say, look, you got a problem here. We're one day in, and the new hire that we helped bring to your company is not happy. You're going to lose them. You paid us a recruiting fee to bring them on board. You're going to lose them, and that's your responsibility. You got a problem. We tell them right out of the gate. So
right.
Everything's got to be airtight. When I talk about the first day and the first week and the first month, yet, man, do we have to? We just have got to be spot on. The first week, one of our recommended pieces is partner the new hire with a welcome mentor, someone who can partner with them. We'll have lunch with them. We'll tell them about your company. We'll give them insight. Be certain, by the way, this welcome mentor is a superstar. They need to be in the top 10%. And you need to give them some guidelines for the kinds of mentoring and so forth. All right. And number two, and this is right out of the playbook from a little bitty company called Xerox, kind of a multi-billion-dollar global company. But Xerox, I learned this back in the 80s. That's how far this goes back, Jed. 30 years ago, they worked from a training calendar. You take the first 20 days of a new hire. You split the day a.m. and p.m. You got 40 boxes, and you fill in what that person is going to be doing every single day. Not hour by hour, but at least a.m. and p.m. what they're going to be doing. I folded that into my own work on the publishing side of Work Sterling, and we coach and guide our advertising sales clients the same exact way. 20-day calendar, split it in half, 40 boxes. What are they going to be doing? One of the key things on this, Jed, we love to recommend is make certain that the new hire works their way around the varying departments. Spend 2 hours with the collection team and listen to them make collection calls and listen to see how they log those calls. Go spend a half or full day with the CERC or distribution team. Okay, go spend 4 hours with the search engine department or the marketing department or inside your ad team, or go spend 4 hours in the graphic arts, with the graphic artists and production side of the house. You want a new hire to understand every aspect of the biz, and the faster you can incorporate that in and you put it right into the training calendar, and they get dialed right in and off they go in that first week or two or three in order to be successful.
Right.
Does that make sense, Jed?
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's I think exposing them to all areas probably alleviates a lot of questions down the road.
It does. Plus, they know who to go to for answers. They understand how things work within the company, And so when they're out working with the client, and the client says, "Hey, listen, we got a call or two from your collection department," and you say, "Yeah, something. I noticed that as well. In fact, I was just in with the collection manager this morning. Let's talk about your ad payment and blah blah blah." The person just sounds like they've been in the company for 5 years, but in fact, just yesterday they spent 4 hours in the collection department understanding what goes on there.
Right.
Okay, so a very important part. And then at the end of the first month, the single most important piece, Jed, remember we said in step 9, we said we're going to present compensation in writing. We're going to present it by a spreadsheet. Well, guess what we're reviewing at the end of the first 30 days? The spreadsheet.
Right.
We're right there. We're going to review the spreadsheet, and we're going to see how they're tracking. Was this month bronze, silver, or gold? Okay, very simply, the second month we're going to do the same thing, and the third, and the fourth. Okay, so that spreadsheet has nothing to do with just being used in the hiring step. It's going to be used for the next 12 and 24 months. Every step of the way, we're going to continue to use that tool so that we can track to see how that person is performing compared to the gold, silver, and bronze that we mapped out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's a good idea.
All righty. So we've covered a lot of ground. We've been talking today about the recruiting side, the interviewing side, the hiring side. There are components that we've talked about here that we could literally break out and do entire long programs. We want you to tell us, what do you need most? It has been since 2006 that we have covered this topic. Advertising companies and advertising sales teams are growing. Advertising companies are back making new hires. We are hoping that the points that we've given you here today will allow you the opportunity to make really, really great hires. And if you'd like any of the tools or the resources or the 9 steps or the reference waiver or the sample spreadsheets, we have all of those things. Just send a quick email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and my team behind the scenes will be more than happy to provide those with you. Jed, we've covered a lot of ground. We're just a few minutes before the top of the hour. How about some closing words while we wrap up here and thank all of those that have joined us?
Yeah, great. Well, thanks. You know, thanks to everyone who joined us here today. And again, thanks to Ernest. You know, I learned a lot today. Some really, really great ideas about steps you can take to hire the right person. You know, if you want to learn more about MediaBids, you know, on the follow-up email, our web address and email address will be on there. So feel free to reach out. We'd love to tell you more about what we do. Again, thanks to Ernest, and thanks to all of you for joining us.
Absolutely. And thank you, Jed, for the wonderful work here together. I encourage all of you to take a look at MediaBids.com. They provide a sterling service. They know exactly how to bring more revenue for you and for your company. They understand our world of advertising and advertising sales. And the part that I most love about Jed and their team is they know how to do work just like back in the 40s. What does that mean? The old-fashioned handshake, an old-fashioned here's what we do, and we simply do it best, and we deliver on our promise. Jed, I know you know, I always hear that chuckle when I say the 1940s, but I don't know how else to describe it. You do business the old-fashioned way, and I love that about you and your team.
I thought you were describing my wardrobe, not the
Oh, go on. Listen, to all of you, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining our MediaBids Power Hour, and we'll see you back next month. This is going on 18 years of every single month, us providing an educational program, our 207th since we first began. We are real believers in helping you win, helping you learn, helping you grow. And if you'd like specific step-by-step selling strategies, come and join our weekly Power Hour Sales Academy. You'll absolutely love that, and it's at our Power Hour site. Jed, as always, a pleasure. We'll be in touch. See you next month.
Thanks very much, Ernest. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Take care.
Bye.